First reading for today comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evaders, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up at heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And the second reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, and then 16 to 18. For I am ready being poured out like a drink offering. And for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. But now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on the day, and not to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defence, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector at prayer in the temple. It's interesting that three of the versions of scripture that we have available to us introduce this particular parable in three different ways. The Good News describes it as the parable as being addressed to those who were sure of their own goodness and despised everyone else. The New International Version says that this parable addressed those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. And the New RSV is perhaps the strongest, and it has it addressed to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Wow, them strong words. Contempt is an awful word and an awful attitude. But this parable is an important one and important for this fantastic church of ours. I've heard it's been said in the higher echelons of our church that Adelaide West has the greatest diversity of any of the churches in the Uniting Church in South Australia, making it very difficult to find a minister capable of ministering to such diversity. The diversity of which they speak is a diversity of theological belief or how we approach the scriptures. Whether the statement is true or a gross exaggeration is rather irrelevant for us this morning. We are a church containing vast diversity. And how we handle that diversity is important. And this parable addresses that particular issue. Now, should some of you be unaware of the diversity of which we speak, I will outline just a couple of examples of it. First, in regard to Scripture, there are those of us who believe that the Scriptures were virtually dictated by God and only transcribed by human hands. So there can be no errors or contradictions in the Scriptures. Others of us believe that the Scriptures were written by fallible, even though inspired, humans, and therefore errors and contradictions are possible within our Scriptures. And between those two views, there's every shade of grey that's possible. Now, an example from theology, from our belief system. Some of us accept what is called the atonement theory or theology, that God sent his Son into the world to die for our sins in order that God could forgive our sins. And others believe that if you follow that through logically, God ends up a terrible ogre. And again, there's every shade of grey between those two extremes. Now, I've pointed to but two examples, and there are many, many more that have the ability to cause major division within the church, and in fact have caused major division. I want to put, before dealing with this particular parable, I want to put just a couple of thoughts before you this morning. For I believe the evidence would seem to point to the fact that the God we worship actually loves diversity. I mean, look at we humans on this planet. We've got every colour possible, every language possible, every custom possible, every political approach possible on it. And yet God loves every human being equally. And it's a great time of the year to look at your gardens. Someone said to me after the service, the earlier service, you haven't seen my garden. But it's a good time of the year to look at most gardens. You know, would your garden look as beautiful if every colour, if every flower was the same colour? I don't believe so. Again, nature, in my view, shows that the God who lies behind our creation loves diversity. You know, look at Australia with its vast open spaces of desert and its mountain ranges and forest. Beautiful diversity. And another thought. You know, if I've matured at all in the 54 years of ordained ministry, it is because I've had to relate to and work beside people with whom I disagree strongly. I mean, if everyone I'd worked with down through those 54 years had agreed with me, what a boring life I would have had. And I'd be a fair pain in the butt. An immature one. Some would argue I'm probably a mature one now. But that's what helps us to mature and develop personalities that are open and welcoming. Well, back to our parable. Really, it's back to the introduction to the parable. It's saying something very important to the Uniting Church and to our church in particular. If we are a denomination or a congregation with such diversity, vigorous debate is inevitable and, I believe, healthy. But despising or looking down upon or regarding with contempt those with whom we disagree, well, this parable places us under severe judgment if that is what happens. The word that stands in opposition to these words or phrases is, of course, the word respect. So the big question that this parable places before the Uniting Church and the Adelaide West Uniting Church in particular is, how can we disagree strongly, even robustly, whilst maintaining respect for those with whom we disagree? The same question faces our parliamentarians, and I would suggest to you, our society in general. And it is possible. I have a memory that I treasure. It goes back a long, long way, and looking around you, there's only one or two who could share my memories that go back this long. But it goes back to the days of Methodism. There are quite a large number of those who trained with me have kept in touch over 54 years, such that we've become brothers, and our wives almost regard themselves as sisters, and our wives still meet monthly together. Now, one of these very close friends and contemporaries of mine got transferred way back in Methodist days to an interstate appointment, so that he no longer was a member of the South Australian Methodist Conference, but of a Methodist conference in another state. He knew that his contemporaries got together every time that Methodist conference got together, and so he would write an annual letter to us. And one letter I remember distinctly. He longed to return to the South Australian Conference because he could remember the debates that had occurred in the South Australian Conference, where people were really at each other. The debates were fast and furious. And when the debates were over and morning tea was called, people who had been on opposite sides of the debate and quite ferocious in their debate sat down at the same tables and shared coffee with the people with whom they'd been in disagreement. And he said, over here, after such a vigorous debate, those who are on the left go out that door, those who are on the right go out that door, and they actually have coffee in different places. I yearn to be back in South Australia. It was possible. People who disagreed very strongly with each other sat down and shared jokes with each other over morning tea only a few minutes later. It's possible. I've got no easy answers to the question, but I do believe that the word humility is an important one to latch onto here. Accepting that not one of us is infallible, and we haven't yet arrived at the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but we're on a journey towards it, is an important starting point. As I remember it, a member of our church had... I missed a couple of lines there. I'd like to quote what I heard relayed to me from a previous minister of this church. I have no idea of the details behind this quote or even its accuracy. But as I heard it, a member of our church had complained to this minister about another member or group of members, I don't know which, and his apparent reply was, look, we're all on a journey in our Christian faith, so differences are to be expected. As it was relayed to me, I heard it as a statement containing great wisdom. You know, those vigorous debates that we talk about, that we're experiencing within the church today, dealing with important issues, they go way back. They go way back. Paul is actually referring to one in his letter to Timothy. He's referring back to when he, as a recent convert, made contact with the other early disciples and entered into a rather bitter debate with them as to what was expected of Gentile people converting to Christianity. Should the male members of a family converting to Christianity go through the experience of circumcision or not? And that debate was as vigorous as any debate we have in our church today. But Paul reports, no one stood by me the first time I had to defend myself. All deserted me. But did you catch what he added? May God not count it against them. No bitterness, no anger, no contempt. Respect had developed between them. It's humbling in a way to acknowledge that some of the most valuable members of this church, people who really walk the talk, who really know how to give expression to their Christian faith in daily living, are on the opposite end of the spectrum of theological belief and biblical interpretation to me. But I acknowledge it. It's true. You know, if Luke had been introducing Jesus' parable today, his introduction would have read something like, Jesus told this parable to those who believed they were right in everything they believed, and looked down upon everyone else who disagreed. Oh, and by the way, you know that that guy or girl, I don't know who it was, from our synod, who made that statement that I quoted at the beginning, that Adelaide West was a church that, you know, it's very difficult to find a minister to cope with its diversity. They're wrong. We've already found one. Thank you.